Hey.
That's right, folks. This is the Comics Podcast, episode 278, with special guest Fat Albert. Thanks, Fat Albert, for coming on the show.
Oh, you started.
Yeah, I don't know, Albert. It's kind of a problematic name to have nowadays, Fat Albert.
That's not a bad word, Alex.
I know, but it's just I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't make a show.
So good, because they're fatty.
Okay, well, how does it feel to be nicknamed Fat Albert, then?
I'm not. I'm nicknamed Sonic Underground.
That's much worse.
I know. The show's
that's
awful.
Much worse.
No, the show's great, actually.
Cameron, we have to have words.
That's what people won't tell you, is that Sonic Underground is very good, actually.
Sonic Underground is dog shit, as someone who watched an episode of it last night.
I've watched many episodes of Sonic Underground, Chad.
I've seen more of Tamers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 than I have of Sonic Underground, and I like his take on the characters more.
Wow.
Bardonic is the ship of our time, right next to Mordotwai.
This is the Comics Podcast.
I'm strong with cringe tonight.
Episode 279, as I already said. I don't know why I'm repeating it again. But this week, as you can tell already by the content, Jean-Luc's not here. He normally reins us in. But that's not happening this week, so buckle up, because we have our good friend, Chad, Sonic Underground, Waller.
Hi.
His new legal name.
How you doing, Chad?
I feel like Microsoft Edge is trying to do something, and I'm telling it not to, and it keeps trying to do it. What the fuck? No,
it's Microsoft Edging.
Password, dude.
I was wondering how to fit that in, but that was perfect, Emily. And Emily's here. How you doing, Emily?
Hello. Year.
I didn't give you a snappy middle name. That was Emily, Centaur World. Yeah.
That is, yeah. I'm going to change my name to Emily Centaur World. Yeah.
Emily Centaur World. Yeah. Season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. How you doing, Emily?
I'm doing great.
That's great to hear.
We had American Thanksgiving. Chad and I did this past week, and that's why John is not here. And I impressed my family with a baked mac and cheese that I made for the occasion, and it was quite good.
I recently went to a friend's house, and they made vegetarian mac and cheese, and it was very good. So what kind of mac and cheese did you
make? Was it vegan mac and cheese or vegetarian? Because I just, like, mine was vegetarian just because it didn't have any meat in it, but I did use, like, regular, like, I used, like, dairy, cheese, and milk.
I think they might have used fake milk.
Yeah, I don't really like, I don't like a lot of dairy substitutes, and because I'm not vegan,
there's no need.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to substitute when it comes to dairy. So I just used, like, I had several different, I had three different kinds of cheddar and, like, Gruyere, and those were the cheeses I used, and I just followed, I cobbled together a couple different recipes from the internet that I liked, and sort of made my own mishmash, and it was very good.
Wow.
I ate a lot of it, because I don't eat turkey, the mainstay of American Thanksgiving.
Chad, are you a turkey boy?
Turkey's all right. I ended up having ham, though, because someone made ham as well, and I was like, ham is better.
Meat, ham was always the better holiday meat choice.
Yeah,
turkey's,
I don't know. Turkey.
So dry.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you need gravy on it. And it's like, at that point, why not just have a better meat? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I celebrated American Thanksgiving in the sense that I worked for an American company and didn't have to work for 2 days.
Hell yeah.
So
that's
was
the greatest
cool.
gift of all.
Yeah. 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 I just relaxed. It was lots of fun.
You did karaoke.
I did. Yeah. That was actually last Saturday after we recorded. I wouldn't say an early show anymore, because we normally record in the afternoon nowadays.
Earlier.
I don't know. We're flexible. We like to zig and zag. But yeah, I went to karaoke, and it was a lot of fun. It was nice.
How did it compare to VR karaoke?
VR karaoke was a really good way to get comfortable with karaoke again. I mean, I've been to karaoke before, but I was never as confident as I was, or like as, I don't know, as like, it was just like in VR, it was just so, there was like no stress involved with it for me. And it also could help that I was just with like Chad, Cameron, and Joe. So it's kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. very, very chill. But then going out with a group of friends and singing songs was really cool. I went to the bathroom and I came back and they were singing the Backstreet Boys song that I sang in karaoke with in VR, and it was like, oh, okay, cool. It's like the same thing, but there's no headsets. Nice.
What did you sing at karaoke?
I was a lot. We were there for like 3.5 hours.
Jeepers.
Wow. And
we kind of did like a pass the mic through every song kind of thing, because there were like, okay, I don't know, five of us or something. So it was just a nice time. One of my friends, it was his first time getting this drunk.
Wow. So
that was an experience. Because we went before to eat and drink, and then he had some shots there, and he was just plastered. But he's never karaoke before, and he's never felt comfortable karaoke before, like doing
well,
it. And
he sang
so
well.
No, it does. It really does. So we're going to get in December at some point, which sounds exciting. Yeah. But yeah, Chad, I want to do more VR chat karaoke. I don't know, every like 2 months or something.
Yeah. I think everybody else is largely down for that.
Nice.
I'm the only one that gets freaked out and feels like they need to prepare, whereas everyone else is just like, yeah, sure, we can fuck around.
See, but you're the only one who has like you're prepared. You're like doing stuff with like technique and like making sounds that we can't make. So I don't know. It's cool.
Speaking of karaoke, there will be no karaoke at the office Christmas party this year. So I cannot surprise everyone with my toilet bowl impression.
Why not?
Well, I guess I could, but I'd have to like swipe the microphone from someone. They have a DJ. They're doing the lame thing.
Oh, no.
The guy's going to put on a playlist. And it's going to be mostly Journey and REO Speedwagon. And I'm going to be like, I like these bands a lot, so I guess this is fine.
Wait, so you normally do karaoke, and this time they're just going to have a DJ play music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, that's which is lame. Weird, because usually someone in IT has like all the DJ stuff, so they hire him to do the main thing, and then like there's a bar attached to the place. And then so karaoke's just in the bar. And so I don't understand why they can't still have both, but the person who handles karaoke is not doing it this year. That's what I heard from her.
Damn.
And I guess that's fine.
Can we call her out on podcast?
No.
Send our listeners
name
after
her
them?
Name.
Name her name.
Actually, so Heather's the one who asked her for me, but then Heather used my name, and I was kind of hoping she wouldn't do that. So eventually she's probably going to come up to me this week. And the world doesn't actually revolve around me, so she probably won't. She'll probably fucking forget, but
hope she
could be like, hey, I heard you like karaoke, and I would be like, yeah, there's a lot of asterisks there.
Hey, karaoke boy, it's not happening this year. And then in the office, you're going to be known as the karaoke guy for another year, and then next year they'll finally do karaoke. But I don't know, like karaoke, you can do it at any time of year, technically. It's not just a holiday thing. But I guess that's the only one where it'd be like a social obligation to go. And karaoke.
And I wanted to surprise people.
Yeah. Well, when we come into town, we can go to karaoke.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or we can just do it at your house.
Yeah, we could also do it at your house.
That's probably much better. But other than not karaokeing, Chad, when you said karaoke, I thought you were going to translate or, you know, go into your Sonic Underground cover.
Oh yeah,
that you did. I had to look up the Sonic Underground. Yeah, so after that, because I never heard it before. But how did that come around,
Alex? It's so good.
Yeah,
that came around. Me and Cameron, we did a watch along for Sonic Underground last night as part of our episode because we didn't have anything planned. And the theme song starts off, and the theme song's really good. So we're kind of like singing it, and then I just, you know, started doing the Sonic Under and went on from there. And he's like, I wonder what it would sound like if you just did that to actual music. And I was like, well, I have this ability and it's called a 4-day weekend. So I actually started that last night and I did all the composition because I found a good MIDI file. And that took about an hour and a half to quick compose everything. And then I recorded the all the vocals today, which I did in less than an hour, and it kind of shows because I didn't bother double tracking super well, so you could tell they don't line up great. But it's dumb, so who cares? And so now I got to do a quick mix, and I'm gonna try and have that done tomorrow.
Yeah, Chad, you cannot possibly understand the mix of emotions that I felt at 10:30 p.m. last night when I out of nowhere got a message that on Discord that was just an MP3 file named Sonic underscore underground.mp3. And then I hit play and I realized that like the metal guitars came in and I was like, oh, Chad's doing a cover.
And you said, oh Lord, and I couldn't tell if that was a heavy eye roll or if it was something else. And I
it was just, that was my first reaction, not even having clicked on it, was just like, oh, what am I about to click on?
So that's been fun. It's far enough along. I still, there's a bunch of little things to do. And then odds are I'll be a perfectionist and start fucking with the actual vocal lines and redo a couple of them, but.
I appreciate that you changed the file name for when you sent it tonight. Now it actually says Sonic underscore underground instead of good old Sonic.
I guess I was a little drunk last night. Never mind.
I just assumed you were drunk when you did it.
I mean, you watched Sonic Underground and then decided to do a vocal composition.
What I want to do with Cameron, and I already kind of pitched this to him, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet, is do a vocal one take in VR chat, but then have him be a Sonic OC, and then like go to a recording booth and set it up and like actually have him pretend to do it. And then he's got a soundboard, and so he can play the song through his soundboard so his voice will match up perfectly to the words. And then we'll just record that and put it on YouTube.
Oh,
go to a sound booth in VR chat?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We know where a couple are. But yeah, it's like really popular right now for metal vocalists to do like their vocal one takes and film themselves just doing a song. And so basically to spoof that with this.
I was going to say, it's probably not normally done in VR chat, correct?
No, it is not.
Have you guys heard of the VR chat documentary that's going on?
What? No.
Okay, so I stumbled upon it yesterday at some point, but this guy, it's an Indiegogo, but it's apparently like a feature length VR chat documentary about the people in VR chat, and it's like $13,000 funded, which I mean isn't insane, but for a VR chat documentary, let's see if I can find it. Da-da-da-da. In the meantime, how you doing, Emily? How was your week?
It's good. I watched more of the League of Legends show, Arcane, and it's, I don't know, I'm having a good time. I have some friends in town for the holidays, so I rewatched the episodes I had already seen with them, because they had not watched any of it yet. And then we've since watched up through episode 5 or 6, I think, and there's about 9 episodes in this first season, and we're having a good time. I didn't know anything about League of Legends leading up to this, and I still don't know anything about the game itself, but I'm having fun with the TV show.
Heck yeah. I've heard really, really good things about it.
Yeah.
Mostly from people who don't play League of Legends.
It's taken a turn for the lesbian, which, you know, I mean,
nice.
Is very typical for me, but that's fine. It's good. I maintain that the animation is good, and I like a lot of the character designs. And
you have a magnetic energy for like lesbians in media.
I do.
It's a skill.
It's a talent.
Yeah. It's all those things.
I mean, like, I knew that there was like ship bait for like these two characters because I had already seen someone that I follow on Twitter like reblogging fan art. So like I already knew that people were keyed into this. But Chad, do you know what a Kabaddon is?
How do you spell it?
It's Kabeddon, and it's like when a character like kind of like they. How do I explain this?
I just Googled it and I feel like I understand based on the 4 images that just
they like they one character is like leaned against the wall and then another character is like
in front
of them with like the like that their arm like holding them up but also very close to the person. And usually like the Kabaddon itself is like the act of like a person like putting their arm there like up against a person, and it's usually like a very like either romantic or like, you know, attention building sort of action. And I knew that there was ship bait for these two characters, but then when like one of them like did like a cabedon like against the other one, I was like, oh, they are really leaning into this, huh?
No, they're really leaning into the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
You're all after me.
It's the evening. All in all, it's the evening.
We're just another lesbian up against the wall.
Damn. So the VR chat thing is called We Met in Virtual Reality.
Okay.
And it's got 3 days left on Indiegogo. It's 13,000 out of 17,000 right now, but it's a flexible thing, so it's going to happen.
I mean, that's actually pretty close.
I haven't watched the trailer yet, but it seems to just be like a documentary about the power of VR chat and socializing. And it follows three different people. And it's filmed in VR chat. It reminds me of Cameron's YouTube videos. Nice. He's the only one I've ever seen film in VR chat. So
I'm watching this, trying to see if I'll recognize any of the places or avatars.
Have you ever been to community meetup in VR chat?
No. Boy, there is a lot of cat girls. I am.
Wow, I'm shocked.
I'm a basic bitch when it comes to VR chat avatars.
You kind of are. Oh, there's a nice bathtub photo with everyone.
The fuck is this?
Why don't you tell me? Because I'm not looking at it.
No, there's just like they were in like what looked like a university room. There's a ton of people packed in, and someone was talking about Christmas. And
yeah,
it's just so confusing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, long distance relationship, but in VR chat. That's interesting.
Oh.
With COVID, she's not even allowed to come here. Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, yeah, interesting people dating in VR chat.
Hey, it's pool. I've played pool.
Yeah, like in real life?
I recognize that bar.
I've definitely been there.
Hey, Chad.
Yo.
Oh, hold on. Okay. I'm not seeing. Is anyone seeing like a line on my audio? Because I don't.
Yeah, you're talking.
Okay. It's just not showing up on mine, and I just wanted to make sure that I was actually recording.
Ooh.
Hey, Chad.
Yes.
You watched Centaur World Season 1.
I did watch Centaur World Season 1.
And according to tweets, Emily has once again recommended something that you enjoy.
Once again, yeah. I reign supreme, queen of the cartoons.
This one comes with a few more caveats than some of the others.
Less okay. more caveats than Utena?
That's interesting.
I would say more than Utena. Utena is like legitimately a really good show. Utena's an anime, and so like I would only recommend that to someone who also watches anime, whereas like this is a cartoon, and I feel like it's such a mix of weird things that I both like and don't like. But on the whole, the show ended very well. Comfortable Dog had the best song.
He sure does.
Like, I don't even know how to like describe the show to most people. And I know I brought it up last week, but it's a Adventure Time meets My Little Pony meets Rick and Morty meets, I don't know, like
that's a lot of things. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of different influences that have gone into this.
Well, one of the writers definitely was showrunner on My Little Pony at one point.
Yeah, and I totally believe that because it's true, I would imagine.
but also you can see it.
Yeah. It's just, it's neat to have, like, this candy-colored centaur world where friendship is the answer as, like, the backdrop to a lot of, like, pretty heavy shit that ends with, oh, the Nowhere King is going to literally murder everybody because that will make him happy, and he's a Bloodborne boss. And the, like, the weird, the Wallowink being basically into male pregnancy, but only for mermaids. And then that contrasted with the suicide whale in the second episode.
Excuse me?
And trying to explain that to people who don't know the show. And it's like, oh yeah, so the pink centaur really likes the idea of male mermaids who look like really handsome anime characters laying eggs. and she draws pictures of it and forces other people to help her, and she won't feed them unless they help her. Also, horse is really depressed and just commits suicide via giant whale.
Attempts. She didn't die.
Her spirit did.
That's not true.
Wallowings had to go in there and save her and get it back.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, she was in, like, a trance for a little bit, but nothing died.
It was, that was as close to death as this show is going to get.
Oh, yeah, for sure. At least for, like, main characters.
So, the show has largely been kind of those two dichotomies, basically from start to finish, with some episodes definitely leaning more into the depressing and kind of heavy stuff, and others leading more into the silly stuff. Like, there's an entire episode that's just a giant reference to Cats the musical.
And it's amazing.
It's pretty good. Because the male cat who has the sash is McCavity, and then the other glitter cats are Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember their names.
Bombalurina and Demeter, I think? I don't remember the other one's name, because they didn't make her a character in Cats 2019.
Yeah,
so
that's
I
why
forgot.
Taylor Swift had to play two of them, because she's got so much range, everybody. She's the best.
She didn't have to play two of them.
Thank you, Taylor.
So yeah, like, the show is fucking bizarre, but I think the emotional impacts of the last two episodes, despite the last two episodes being paced a little strangely because of productions.
Yeah, we've talked about this behind the scenes. I think there, it seems like the show was originally supposed to get a, like, big 26 episode first season, and then at some point Netflix was like, hey, we need you to split this into two seasons, actually. So they kind of had to, like, manufacture a mid-season finale in a way that probably wasn't there before.
Yeah. I think the show's jokes get better the further on it goes. Like, mm-hmm. the humor writing really improves between episodes 1 and episode 10.
I definitely agree.
It's weird because, like, it's an enjoyable cartoon. I don't think I laughed all that often, but when I did, it was like, that was a good joke. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm here to experience this joke. But it's one of those things where, kind of like with Yuri Kuma, it's like, it's so weird, but it's clearly up to something, and I want to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I think the payoff is definitely there. So if you have Netflix, everybody, I would recommend this show. It is quite fun.
I do have Netflix.
Strange. And if you watch season 1, you don't have a long time to wait for season 2, because season 2 just got a release date. It's coming out on December 7th. And I'm going to basically lose my mind, because December 7th is Centaur World season 2. And then new episodes of Summer Camp Island come out on December 9th. So I only have, like, one day to recover from Centaur World before Summer Camp Island comes around to fuck me up once again.
Heck yeah. Also, I just Googled Centaur World, and this animation style is very interesting.
The animation is genuinely so, like, good and smooth. The art style is really weird, but you kind of, like, get used to it.
It looks webcomic-y to me, and not, like, in a, like, a disparaging way, but in, like, a,
I can get that. I think, like, I think the showrunner did, like, some comics before this, so that probably has, you know, some,
like,
influence.
I could see all of these characters being in, like, a 3-panel comic. Not, like, a full webcomic thing, but just, like, with a mm-hmm. payoff where it's, like, this giraffe guy's in the background. Oh, wait, he's a centaur, because they're all centaurs. But this giraffe centaur guy is just, like, hanging out there, and then, you know, insert funny dialogue, as they do.
Yeah.
Huh. That's Centaur World season 1. That's 5 stars from Emily and 4.5 from Chad. So check
it
out.
Let's go 4.
4 from Chad.
I want to know how many stars you give Hawkeye episodes 1 and 2.
Well, it's my favorite Marvel show so far.
Interesting.
So, 2.5 stars out of 5.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not bad. I'm actually enjoying it, and I'm enjoying it more than our fearless leader, Jean-Luc. About Bill, who was away. We miss him. He's with the family. I hope they're doing well. Hope they're having fun. His mom actually baked some pies, 3 different pies.
Hell yeah.
And they looked very nice. But Hawkeye, it's Yeah, it's good old Jeremy Renner being a dad, but then also having to like watch out for this new Hawkeye character played by some lady that John Luke likes. Haley Steinfeld, is that her name?
Something like that. She's also okay. She's in Arcane. She plays one of the. She's like the voice actor for one of the main characters.
Good for her. Good for her. I mean, it's based heavily on Matt Fraction and David Aja's run, but none of them are credited. Fraction is a producer on the show. Aja gets nothing, and the opening or like the theme for the show is like just directly his art, basically, in like animated form. And it's just like, oh, okay, he's just not getting anywhere in it. But it's a fun kind of
cool.
It's a fun kind of low key. Show about Jeremy Renner being like a fatherly figure to his actual kids and then sort of dealing with this new person who also uses a bow. They have the Russian guys who say bro a lot, which was just it's just lots of fun. It's the tracksuit mafia, and they just it's a bunch of Russian guys who go bro, and you know what, it doesn't have to be high art, but it was pretty enjoyable. The first two episodes,
I'd give it a go.
Okay, then I think you would like it. Because I've never heard anyone say that.
Because of a running joke in an old podcast that James Stephanie Sterling and Conrad Zimmerman used to do.
Okay.
And they pretended to be production managers for celebrities no one actually cares about.
Jeremy Renner.
Trying to get them jobs. And Jeremy Renner always wanted to just like put himself in a cage and fuck skeletons. And that was like the running joke. It's like, hey, Jeremy Renner's got a new plan. Oh, does he want to crawl in a cage and fuck some skeletons? Yeah, he does. Do you think we could get some money out of it this time? And I can never divorce that from that man. I look That's at him fantastic. And I'm like, that guy fucks skeletons. And I know he doesn't.
That you know.
Episode 2 gets kind of crazy.
I think if I met him, I would ask him, be like, so when you fuck skeletons, do you use butter or what?
Do you ever buy his app?
Yeah, I was going to say, Chad, if you had just gotten on to the Jeremy Renner app, you could have maybe seized the opportunity to ask him about this.
Yeah.
Why does he have an app? That's dumb.
Oh my God, Chad, did you never...
I think it was like $7.99 or something.
Did you never hear about the Jeremy Renner app? We're going to have a conversation about this after the show. I don't think we have enough time.
Shut down.
There was a time where it was a paid app that gave you all of the Jeremy Renner news.
It was like Instagram, but only for Jeremy Renner.
And you know, if you know anything about Jeremy Renner, it's like he's not the most interesting man in the world, but
unless you're on the Jeremy Renner app
or so society would have you think.
Christmas came early for me. I get to laugh at this.
I'm glad. You know,
buddy, if
it was still around, I would get you a subscription to it, but
there are YouTube videos where like people went in and like looked at what was in the Jeremy Renner app. You should definitely look into this. It's very funny.
His music is all right. I'll give him that.
Oh, Chad.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of sad because he had his app, and the reason that he shut it down was because of all the internet trolls. So,
also amazing.
In their defense, it was very funny.
Okay, there's exclusive content, there's exciting giveaways with cool prizes, and you get to know Jeremy and other Jeremy Renner fans. It's the perfect social network. Like,
how much furry porn wound up on there?
the real reason Jeremy Renner had to shut down his app. Oh my God. Whoa. I didn't know this. Also, there's different in-app purchases, and it goes from $1.99. Chad, guess how expensive the most expensive thing on the Jeremy Renner app costs?
$2.99.
I'm going to say
$2.99?
$499.
Whoa. Well, Emily, you went higher. It's $394.
Oh.
And the reason you would spend that much money is to boost your post on Jeremy Renner's app so that Jeremy Renner could see your post. So...
Dude was making Marvel money at the time. Like, is he really struggling to eat that bad?
I think he's making more money off this app. This is fantastic. Wow. No, apparently, yeah. So apparently within a year of its launch, it was a very, there was reports of it being a hateful atmosphere and a lot of bullying. And they said that there was censorship and rigged contests. So, wow. If any of our listeners were part of the Jeremy Renner app fandom, please send us a letter at opinionsarecheap@gmail.com. Please do.
You know that
please
dude
do.
Was never actually on that too, which is great. Like he had this idea with his big brain ego, you know, fucking skeletons, and he's like, I should make an app about me, and then I will let my community manager deal with all of the idiots, and I will just make all the money.
Oh man, that's what the intern had to do, didn't they? It was like, oh my gosh, I get to be an intern for Jeremy Renner. Am I gonna like what am I gonna do? Am I gonna like book his meetings, book his appointment? No, you run the Jeremy Renner app. Yeah. Yep. I wonder how many Nazis were in the Jeremy Renner app. That's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No. Probably more than five though.
Well, luckily it looks like we've just hit time to transition into comics.
We'll be back with more Jeremy Renner talk next week when we talk to a fan of Jeremy Renner, Jean-Luc Botville, who actually spent $800 on the Jeremy Renner app on his parents' credit card back in the day. So let's get that going. I don't think Jean-Luc's gonna listen to this far, but he might. He's not here. But before we go into comics, is there anything else you want to say before we jump into comics? Before we jump.
I'm drinking chocolate beer.
Oh,
pretty good.
Oh yeah, what's everybody drinking? Because everybody grabbed a drink before the show.
Chad is drinking a chocolate beer.
Alex?
I'm drinking some Collingwood maple smoked whiskey.
Oh, that sounds fancy. I've got a tangerine White Claw.
Yo, we on three different wavelengths here. Yeah, it's good.
We really are. That's the type. We're bringing three very different energies to tonight's recording.
I went axe throwing a couple weeks ago, and they had a few drink options, and I wanted something fruity. Is what I told the guy, and he was like, "Do you want white?" Like, and they gave me three White Claw options, and I'd never had White Claw before. But I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, it must be fruity. It must taste fruity. It doesn't taste like anything." It's a seltzer.
Tastes kind of fruity. I mean, like it tastes fruity for a seltzer.
Yeah, but it's like tea, right? Where it's like, oh, there's a fruity aftertaste. But tea's nice because I guess it does serve a purpose because it gets you, you know, drinky drink.
I mean, I like this better than regular seltzer, which doesn't get me drunk.
That's fair. Chad, what kind of what brand of chocolate beer are you drinking?
Tell us about your beer.
So, yeah, this is I think a local brand because it's plastered with Festival on here, which is our local grocery store.
Nice.
But it's Bigfoot Brownie Stout German Chocolate Cake Brownie.
That is a lot. So is the Bigfoot German or is it chocolate German?
I think that's chocolate's the German. It's a pastry stout with coconuts, peanuts, vanilla, and lactose. So it's actually got milk in here.
lactose has like a headlining ingredient. It's very interesting.
It's 6%.
Okay.
It is very chocolatey. I've had other chocolate stouts, and this one is by far the most like sweetened chocolate. Like it's thick, kind of like a shake. It was $10 for four of them.
Oh my gosh. Is it a nice,
holiday
treat?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I don't know if I'll get it again. It's a little weird. The first one I had is about. This is the second. I had one a couple weeks ago when I first bought it, and then kind of forgot I owned them. Now that I know what to expect, I feel like it's better. It's got a lot of neat flavors. It's not bad. Like I don't regret buying it. I don't typically spend this much money on beer, considering like the last couple I've gotten were Natty Light.
Natty Light.
Oh God, I haven't drank Natty Light since college, Chad.
That's like what, 50 cents a piece?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
They're like practically giving them away. Why would you not buy them?
It's basically beer flavored water.
There's a reason they give
all
them away.
Like beer.
Oh, fair. You got us there. I've never heard of chocolate beer till now, so that's very exciting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, next time you're at the grocery store and you're looking at beer, there's one that's pretty popular. It has like a chocolate lab on the can or on the cardboard that holds the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really good. I recommend that one. I can't remember what it's called.
So does it taste like beer?
Yes.
But it also tastes like chocolate.
It's like it tastes like a dark beer with chocolate aftertaste.
Okay. Is it a chocolate milk stout or is that something else? That's probably chocolate milky.
It's similar vein.
Oh, there's a Guinness chocolate one.
Oh, that sounds good. I haven't had that. I like Guinness a lot.
Guinness rich, dark, creamy chocolates. No, those are just chocolates in a can. Okay, move it on.
Before we move to comics, there are like chocolates that have like alcohol inside them.
I know what that is. Yeah, yeah. It was just in a can, and I just assumed that they were like, oh, chocolate Guinness. That's cool. Yeah. But it was a lie. Just like... vinyl number six, it's wrapping up. It's over.
Oh, yeah, let's
It ended as it began. Not making any goddamn sense.
I was gonna make the joke about how it pulled a coherent ending, but it did not.
It really didn't.
It did and it didn't. Like, the two killed themselves, and it was a big fight, and everything got lit on fire for no goddamn reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the FBI agent got out. I don't know, though. I don't care, which sucks, because I really liked the first issue of this, and it progressively gave less and less of a shit by the end, until it's like, well, I'm reading it. This is a thing I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's still something to be said about the guy wearing the bear mask, and, like, just, you know, covered in blood. And fighting, it's just like it's a cool thing, but yeah.
I kept
after like issue
like
two,
this.
Yeah, just kind of. I don't know.
Doug Wagner is gonna write a comic that's amazing from start to finish.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think you can say that.
I believe
Chad.
The same for Mirka and Dolfo.
Okay, but Mirka's come closer. She's had like five issues that are good. You know, like she's. Obviously not her full story.
Don't say
but
that unless you're teeing me up to talk about Sweet Paprika.
She's had
I'm
more issues.
About Sweet Paprika, because there's not much to say about Vinyl.
At the end, there's like a Vinyl collection. It's like 1,000 deep, and it's all the guys this guy's killed. And it's like, oh, I think that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. Cool.
Oh, I didn't actually understand that scene, so thank you for explaining that.
No, it's a very, very deep... Twisted. Sweet Paprika, number 5.
I mean, it's still going. I mean, you know, it feels like I've read worse things on this show, because, like, I feel like there have been comics that I've read for this show that when I go to read the next one, I'm like, ugh. But this one, I'm just kind of like, you know, it continues to be very horny. Things are moving along. She's the Paprika has like the crush on like this big important guy in like her industry, but since she hasn't had a lot of experience with sex, she's worried about whether or not she will impress him when they actually get to sleep together. So she's engaging in this like physical relationship with this with the angel delivery boy that was introduced.
She finally getting laid?
Oh yeah, they've there was a lot of them hooking up in this issue. She's hooking up with this guy to like practice for getting with the guy she says that she actually likes, and she's also still dealing with like her dad having been a massive hypocrite who like raised her to be a prude even though he was secretly like going to coke orgies and
classic parents.
Yeah, you know, classic parent stuff. At the very end of the issue, her mom accidentally walks in to her apartment while she's getting it on with delivery angel dude, and so that made for like a dramatic end of the issue. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long this is supposed to keep going.
I will probably so good in this comic. I love her.
That's the thing, and I think that might be one of the reasons that I keep reading, is because even though I like am not even a huge fan of like how horny a lot of it is, like the art and like the character design is like it's just really good, and it really is interesting to look at. Like, yeah. Chad, I actually think, like, once this was collected in trade, that you might, like, not hate just reading through, like, whatever the arc is that this goes through, like, for a laugh. Because, like, sometimes the horny is so stupid that it's funny.
Admittedly, I'm scrolling right now because I want to watch them fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, him going down on her in this new issue. And then, like, they're hooking up at the end of the issue.
Good for them.
Yeah, this is an extremely horny comic.
It's so horny.
even for Mirka and Dolfo, which is very impressive.
Like, this is specifically horny. The other stuff was just her horniness, like, seeping through to what was supposed to be kind of a normal comic.
Yeah, that's the thing. I kind of want to see her with a co-writer. And maybe as she's, like she's doing the art, too. Or maybe just on art. I don't know. Like,
I want to see her write Plastic Man.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that could be fun.
I don't think DC Comics would let her.
Or Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I would absolutely read out Deadpool by her.
I think she needs, like, I feel like most writers get a bit caught up in the whole, like, oh my gosh, we're writing these DC or Marvel characters. I think she needs that grounding. Yeah. And I think it could help her. But you know what? Like, she's, her art is unlike, you know, anyone on. Is it the horniest art in comics right now? Is that safe to say?
I mean, that's a complicated question, I think.
Yeah, it is. I know, she's definitely in the conversation, so.
Yes, for sure.
Well done, Mirka. But speaking of horny comics.
You know what would be awesome?
Yeah.
She does a comic with Ray Fox. And they all, they divide each page in half, and she does half the art, and he does the other half of the art, and then they comp the story together. So you have her, like, cartoony, horny artwork, and then you have his, like, psychedelic, dark, eldritch horror, like, watercolor, and they're just, like...
Or maybe, like, she does the art, but he does, like, the color.
I don't know. I want to see them team up and write something excessively strange.
Yeah. I wonder how they would get along as people. I mean, I don't know much. I mean, I've actually met both of them at different times, but I don't know.
Interesting.
It'd be both at Fan Expo, just different years.
Well,
Ray
I didn't
Fox
know that
is very. Yes, yeah, I didn't know that I met her until after I had met her. If that makes sense. She was like doing sketches at the DC Comics booth, so I got like a sketch done by her, and then I was like, "Who's this?" And then I went home and I was like, "That's Mirka Andolfo." Oh shit!
Wait, who did she do a sketch of?
I think I got, I think she's doing like Superman and Wonder Woman some reason. Yeah, she's doing stuff. But, and then Ray Fox is just very like, he's exactly what his art would make you think. He's just this like quiet dude, but super nice, super nice. Kind of Jeff Lemire, but a bit more talkative.
That makes sense.
Jeff Lemire, what a guy. Did you guys read Robin number 8?
Wait, Chad, what was going to be your horny transition?
I didn't have one.
Oh, I thought you were going to transition into a different comic talking about it being horny.
Oh.
Okay. I read Robin.
You pretend? Yay.
I mean, I've been liking this book. I mean, it's a good book. I don't know. Alex, what did you think?
They had the finals of the death tournament, but everyone's still alive because everyone has three lives.
Yeah.
So, but then they you know, ritualistically brought this demon thing back from somewhere. So, I didn't really
Lazarus
care for this one
or whatever.
It was cool they fought, but now it's just like, oh, now they're like fighting a big bad guy. I just liked it when the kids were chilling and calling Robin like, oh my god, your dad's Batman. Oh no, that sucks. Oh god.
I kind of liked the Robin Hawk fight scene in this issue, but yeah, like the rest of it was kind of
yeah. And Robin gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Also, I should have started with this, but our favorite Batman book, Batman Reptilian, wrapped up issue 6. It's done.
Sure did.
Wow. What did y'all think?
End of an era.
Yeah. Chad, did you enjoy the thrilling finale to Batman Reptilian?
I kind of felt like issues 5 and 6 didn't do much for me.
Hmm.
They existed. Issue 5 got a little weird in a way I didn't care for. It just kind of got gross, but not in like the fun way the previous issues were. And in this one, concluded it, and I don't know, it was fun seeing Batman act like an asshole, and then it's another thing to see him just like basically sell Killer Croc to the FBI and be like, yeah, they're probably gonna, you know, torture you, do experiments to see what kind of fucked up alien you are, have fun, I don't care,
but you're a bad guy, so it's fine.
Yeah. And or just like the one dude dying that was like pissed off at him for using him as bait, and he's like, I don't kill anybody, but people do end up winding up dead around me. It's really weird. And then the dude gets eaten.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I know this book has been on the nose, but that was also, quite on the nose. Much
yeah,
like
I feel
the,
like it was too much.
There was the scene where like the government is taking away, Killer Croc or whatever, and they're like, or Batman's like, you're not gonna do anything fucked up with this, are you? And the government guy is like, what are you talking about? We're the United States government. Yeah, which admittedly, like, despite being very on the nose, did get a good laugh out of me. So, you know, I guess it worked.
I think it's a very self-aware. Yeah, I mean, it has to be.
I mean, this book has been,
yeah. I mean, we're the United States government, not some dreadful rogue corporation.
Yes.
And like, happy to hear that. And
yeah. It's like, that was pretty funny.
And then he sells them down the line. I think 5 and 6 did. It's not that it, like, I didn't enjoy 5 and 6. I just don't think that it gave anything new to this story. Where Batman is this, like,
I agree, actually.
Kind of like, you know, insane dude who's like, maybe he's the bad guy. No, but actually, that's the full text. And this one was just like more of that. I liked where it ended, where he was drinking hot chocolate that Alfred gave him.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's coffee, but he's like, thanks, Alfred. And then like the ending where Croc is sad was kind of like, oh, okay, this like I think thematically and stuff, it didn't it's not like issue 6 changed everything. But I don't think that it really did anything after issue 4.
Honestly, feel like they could have just done, like, if they had done maybe like a big issue for issue 5 and kind of just like, I didn't think this ending needed a full issue. Like, it's not
a little dragged out.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah. Also, cool, I mean, not cool, but an interesting sort of side is that this was supposed to be drawn by Steve Dillon, who's the guy who did Preacher, but he died.
Because
Garth and Steve, they worked together on Preacher. They were like, you know, a lot writing thing. And then I guess Liam Sharp came on and did the art, as an homage to Steve Dillon's work.
Wow. So, I didn't know that.
You can actually see the pitch for the story at the end of the book.
I thought about reading that and then I just, had other stuff to do. So I didn't get to.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. Like I think it would have been stronger as a 4 issue than a 6 issue. Or maybe like a 5. It's just like,
yeah,
but part of me still like, hey, if I see this in a bookstore, I might get it just because like it's a lot of fun and so different than most Batman stories we get.
It's a wild book.
Yeah. And just like the imagery we get in this and overall, like, I don't think it's not as strong as I wanted it to be in the ending, but I still really enjoyed my time with Batman Reptilian this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time. I just, the first 4 issues set this really high bar, and then it kind of did that thing where once we got to see the monster, that card was played, and it didn't have any other cards up its sleeve. Mm-hmm. And so we got the full hand, we got everything it was going to do by issue 4, and then 5 and 6 were just the ending. And I guess I don't think dragging it out into 2 comics did it any favors.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
It did not. Did you guys read?
I'm once again not buying a Batman comic.
Yay! Good job, Chad. Good job.
Consistency.
Also, I don't think I'm going to buy the Nightwing trade because it's like broken up with the fill-in issues.
Yeah, so what the fuck?
Yeah, that's fucked. It didn't come out this week, but I still aired that grievance.
I'm still mad about that, yeah.
You guys are both the Harley Quinn fans, huh?
I haven't been reading that.
I read it. I liked Emily. It. I like this issue a lot. I've been liking, like, there was the one bad issue that was technically a good issue, but just had, like, really dumb-looking art that we didn't like. But, like, the rest of this comic has been very solid, and this was another, like, pretty good issue. A lot of the emotional arc for this issue specifically was about, like, Harley Quinn, like, reconciling with like her fears about falling in love after like her experience with the Joker, and then like at the end her and Ivy like deciding that, you know, like whatever happens they're gonna do it together. And like, because part of the problem was like Ivy is split into like 2, and there's like the one Ivy that's been working with like Catwoman and the Gardener and Harley, but then there's the other one who like has been kind of mean to Harley, and like Harley's worried like if they like get, if the two Ivies recombine to become whole again, like is like the person who comes out on the other side gonna be the Ivy that actually loves her? And but like, you know, they at the end of the issue, like they are holding each other and are like, you know, we're gonna do this together no matter what. And it was really sweet and I liked it.
And that sounds like a cute thing.
Also, there was a really fun sequence where Kevin, you know, Kevin, the ex-Joker guy who's been like helping Harley throughout this whole little series, he was having a moment where he was trying to decide what he wanted to do, and he had like a devil and angel on his shoulder moment, but the devil and angel were like, it was like a devil Harley and like an angel Harley, and it was really cute.
Yay, Harley Quinn.
So yeah, this book continues to be good, in my opinion. I think Chad should get back to reading it.
I will eventually.
You'll think about it.
Because it's probably going to be mentioned.
Probably. And that's coming up, folks. So listen back to all our episodes and try to figure out what we're going to choose for our top 10 books. Have you guys ever seen the show Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends?
I sure have, buddy.
Oh, fucking of course I have.
Because when I read Girl Scouts Stone Ghost number one, I was like, is that the blue guy from Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends? My mind also did a thing where it was like, the person who died, whose name was Billy or Bill. And I was like, wait, Billy and Mandy? And I was like, what? Huh?
You just had cartoons on the brain.
Yeah, I did. So I can't really tell you what happened in this issue of Girl Scouts Stone Ghost number one, because it was mostly me like researching of like, wait, Foster's. Okay, it's, no, that's not that. I thought it was an edgy recreation of Bill and Mandy with Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, but it wasn't. So
no.
Or maybe it was. You guys tell me.
No.
Fuck.
Chad, you almost gave up on this book. Did you end up doing that?
I did finish it. I mostly didn't like it. I like the presentation, but it's also like too much. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to focus on in any panel. The coloring and the line work is just so a lot.
For sure.
And there's a lot of text on most of the pages. And I don't even think the writing's that bad. It's just like visually it is cluttered from start to fucking finish.
I wish that the font for the writing was a little more clear, because that would help with being able to focus on things, because the art style is very like, I wouldn't say sketchy, but like, it's just like, it is a little hard to focus on things. And like the writing also being in this weird like script doesn't, like scratchy script doesn't help. And yeah, it makes it hard to focus on the dialogue also. I kind of enjoyed it, but also, it, you know, like the thought of reading more of it is sort of like, it doesn't fill me with excitement. It fills me with trepidation.
Which sucks. I like the hook at the end, like that cliffhanger where the dude.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's fucking unexpected.
Yeah, there was a lot about this book that I did like. It's just like kind of just physically hard to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of DC versus Vampires number two?
I liked it.
I continue to enjoy DC versus Vampires. I think the writing is still kind of uneven, where like the parts of it that aren't hilarious can be a little boring, but like the parts of that are funny are so funny.
One of you four is a vampire, and they're like, ha, no we're not. And then it's like, isn't that right, man, whose name they said, but I forgot, let's say Face Man, and then everyone else laughs, and Face Man's like, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, like, the teeth.
The Flash and got killed.
He did! Just check. Five out of five?
Yeah. I was like, it's kind of funny, this is another comic where all the Batman gets with all the Robins, and he's like, we gotta do some shit. It's like, wow, there's only like three of these going on right now.
Yeah, this is a...
I really actually did. Like, I think that this scene with all the Robins is maybe my favorite of all of the Robins getting together that we've seen recently. Like,
wow.
I just, like, it was so funny. Like, I took several screenshots from, like, just the scene where they were all talking. But, like, like, when they're, like... Damien says that it calls Jason the crazy one, and I don't remember. One of them says that they thought Damien was the crazy one, and Albert says, "I maintain that all of you would be helped a great deal by a therapist."
Yeah, that was a good line.
And then, like Damien is talking to Albert, is like, "I don't drink tea," and Albert says, "I prepared a cocoa for you, Master Damien, with marshmallows."
And I love how, like, Batman made all of their, or, like, made sure that all of their hot cocoa was made with holy water. So that if any of them was a vampire, they would just fucking die. It's like, oh, okay.
And at first, Damien thinks that, like, Batman poisoned all of them. So he, like, throws out his hot cocoa. And he's like, Albert, can I get some more hot cocoa, please?
I spilled mine. Mine got spilled. He definitely used the passive.
Yeah, he just says mine spilled.
It's a little touch, but it's really good. And, and then Alfred's like, "But Master Bruce, why did you not give me any cocoa?" He's like, "I made sure I put holy water in your bath, so you would have died last night, bitch." And it's like, okay. But it was much nicer. It's James Tynion and Matthew Rosenberg are having a lot of fun with this, like, tale of, like, oh my god, the DC universe is at stake because there's zombies attacking. And there's a lot of, like, dumb stuff on the side where it's like Andrew Bennett and his team are coming, and there's evil Green Lantern, but, like, in between they're having a lot of fun, which is what I like most about it.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the first issue because I couldn't tell what kind of tone it was going for, and I feel like this one really cemented. It's like, no, this is just dumb, and we can have some fun with this. Like, with the Wonder Twins and the lady's like, "I can't find my brother. I don't know where he's at." And Booster Gold's like, "Maybe he just wanted to get away from you. Like, it's kind of weird how attached you two are, right?" And then she goes away crying, and they look at him like he's the asshole.
I mean, that is an asshole thing to say. He's got
a fucking point. Look, those two got a weird relationship.
Okay, he may have a point. He didn't have to be a dick about it.
If I was Booster Gold, I'd be like, have you drank any water recently? Because he might just be dead, man. I don't know. That's like, that's the other Wonder Twins whole thing. Also, I'm excited to see, like, a zombie, like, one of them's a zombie, one of them's not a zombie. And is it going to be, like, form of zombie water? Or, like, I don't know.
Zombie water.
I don't know. Oh my gosh, one of them's going to drink it, and it's going to turn them into a vampire.
Oh, no.
Take that, writers. I can write your comics.
Bam.
Yeah, I've been enjoying this comic, and I'm glad that issue two seems to have been a little more consistent with the funny than issue one, which I think part of the problem with issue one was that it had setting up to do, and like, you can't really do as much funny with setting up a vampire war.
I hope they bring the flashback to life and then kill him again.
I thought that he was just going to turn him into a vampire because, like, having the Flash as a vampire would, like, in the comic. Why not?
Well, he said in the comic that, like, because of, like, Barry's metabolism, that, like, if he turned him into a vampire, like, he would basically, like, his, like, thirst for blood would be, like, unquenchable. And he would basically, like, he would end up committing a genocide, is, I believe, specifically what Green Lantern says is the reason that he can't turn Barry at the very end.
Which is kind of cool that it's like, you know, like, much. Normally it's like, oh my god, evil vampires, they want to destroy the world, but Green Lantern's like, you know what, we want to have a world to control afterwards, we don't want you to, you know, destroy the whole universe. And if the Flash comes back to get killed again, that's always a-okay for the comics podcast. And I think this is Chad's first 5 out of 5 this week. Did you guys read anything else that you enjoyed? Joy Operations number one. Did anybody finish it?
I finished it.
It was fine.
Okay, nice.
I thought it was all right, but, like, there wasn't enough, like, there just wasn't enough to, like, hook me. I don't know. Chad, what did you think?
Yeah, same. I like the twist halfway through that, like, the voice in her head wasn't actually hers. That got me.
It did.
I don't think the comic did a good enough job building the world.
It sure tried.
Going forward. It sure tried. I don't think it succeeded.
I don't disagree. Like, I really like Joy's character design. I like that she's kind of, like, as a protagonist, she's, like, an older lady, and, like, I don't know. It, like, as much as some of it interested me, like, it also just, like, some of it was just kind of boring.
Yeah, Yeah, there's like a 2-page spread with a ton of text, and I was like, oh no, yeah. What if this is where I stop reading?
It was very text heavy, which I, you know, is normally something that we complain about of like novice comic writers, not titans of the industry.
Brian Michael Bendis. What a guy.
I don't think I've actually ever read any of his comics before, so. I mean, like, I heard of him, like, obviously, but.
That Texas Blood ended its arc. What'd you guys think of that real quick?
I thought that was fine.
I stopped reading this book.
Oh.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't know if this arc did anything particularly, like, better than the first one, but I think the character writing for the sheriff and the people around him is good enough where it definitely carried me through. I really enjoyed this. I don't have a lot to say.
I don't have anything to say about it.
It did what it needed to do, but it didn't do anything particularly special, whereas the first arc felt special because, like, it was the first arc.
Mm-hmm.
And it was doing something different.
Yeah, this was sort of, hey, True Detective's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was kind of one of its biggest drawbacks, is that it really did feel like it was just retreading a lot of ground from True Detective Season 1. But, you know, like, I like this comic. I have continued to like this comic. This doesn't seem to be the end. They mentioned in the back of the issue that there's going to be a Christmas special or something, I think.
But this is the end of the series?
Well, this is the end of this arc. I think
interesting.
Future arcs are going to continue to involve the sheriff, Joe Bob, but it's not going to be this specific story.
Hmm.
So I don't really know what that holds, but I did see the words Christmas special when I was like skimming through the back of the issue, because I was wondering if this was like if they were ending or if they were going to keep going, so that's why I decided to look, and it turns out this is not the end. I guess it's been doing well.
Nice.
Which is good.
Yay.
Time Before Time, I think, is the last book that anybody read.
Well, I also read Radiant Black, but Time Before Time. It's fine.
Are you enjoying Time Before Time?
Yes. I don't have a whole lot to say.
No. Same.
I was, it got me with the, at the very end when she finds out that her family never made it, because obviously this is some more time fuckery. And, I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I'm interested.
Yeah. I'm not normally big on time travel stuff, but I quite like the series.
I think this has an interesting enough take on time travel that it doesn't feel like
grounds it.
Yeah.
In a very like technical way, and so many things can go wrong, and there's like so much like policing of it and corruption, and like it seems like a very like it's only been what 7 issues, which is okay, kind of a lot of issues, but it's really established the core, like, hey, time travel is doable. It's also not simple.
Yeah. Well, I think it helps that they're like traveling to the past, but in a way that's like they can't bring their technology really, except for like the time travel pods or whatever. But like, I don't know. There's not. As they're trying as little as they can to influence the past for like logistical reasons, and that's normally when like there's time travel stories, you're trying to do a lot of like what can we like tinker with to like make our future better, but this is not quite so clear cut
for sure.
Oh, speaking of time travel, I watched Demolition Man.
Oh yeah, you sure did.
How did you like that?
That movie was kind of bizarre, but on the whole, I had a lot of fun with it. It was very silly. Lots of things exploded. Wesley Snipes is amazing in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The core concept of like lifetime criminal,
comes out of jail in a place where there's no crime. It's just like, oh, cool. Am I thinking of the right movie?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was fun. I don't have a whole lot to say. We're at an hour four, but I did have a good time with it, despite the movie being extremely, I think, weird in some of its messaging.
Yeah.
Well, it's an old movie.
Yeah.
So it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, too bad John Luke's not here, because he could talk about, you know, he could be happy about Taco Bell being like the master. the master food place. Which is very neat. But last comic, Emily, anything you want to say about Radiant Black before we wrap up?
Some of this issue I was like very bored by, but then like there's an extended sequence at the end where like the original main character of the comic has been in like a coma, right? And so they like were getting ready to pull the plug on him, but then like the best friend who has been the new Radiant Black, like kind of forcefully taps back into like the Radiant Black whatever stuff, like, because it's all very like nebulous alien technology bullshit, and is like I know that there's still some of his consciousness in here from when he was Radiant Black, and he has to like kind of go on like a little like soul journey to try and like find his friend inside the technology, and he has to like reckon with like why he wants to bring his friend back, like, because he like says it's because he like loves his friend and just wants to bring him home, but like also he has to like kind of grapple with the fact that like he kind of resents his friend for having been able to like move off and like do something interesting with his life, even though he ended up having to move back home, whereas like the friend has like just stayed in their hometown and not made anything of himself, and he like wanted to like try and trade himself for like the original guy in that way, because like he thinks the other guy is better than him and better deserving of being the superhero. I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's not hard to explain, it's just like, I don't know, it was a lot, but I it kind of turned around by the end, and I don't really wholly understand what this comic is trying to do, but you know what, I've kept reading it, so that's where we are.
Yay. Good old readable comics.
It's fine. Not as bad as it has been in the past, but also not great.
And if that's what you feel about the comics podcast, then come back next week for another thrilling episode.
Yeah.
We were missing Jean-Luc this week, but I do believe he'll be back next week, back from his Thanksgiving vacation, shall we say, with stories, I'm sure, to regale us with.
Yes.
And we're excited to have him back. But yeah, this has been episode 280 of the Comics Podcast.
It's 79.
I hate this.
You overshot it.
What we got here into the show, I named the episode 278 because that's the one that just came out. So I didn't change the episode. I did the same one, and now I've gone one too far. But
the music episode?
The music episode will be 280.
The music episode will be 280. Which is a nice round number.
Oh, yeah, done with that yet. It's been like 3 weeks.
There's like 10 minutes left, and I just haven't done it. So it'll be 280. So next in your feed after this one is a good music episode. It's actually a bonus episode. What? Yay, wow. Bonus. And it's one of those bonuses where we took something away from you earlier, but you don't remember anymore. So the best kind. The best kind. But it was a really fun music episode. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at The Comics Podcast, on Facebook at The Comics Podcast, on Instagram at The Comics Podcast, basically all social networks. Jean-Luc's not here. You can find him on Twitter at Mountain Dew Liker, on Letterboxd at JLBotBill. Chad, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AnonymBand, I-N-O-N-U-M. You can find my short stories at anonym.wordpress.com. You can find my music on anonym.bandcamp.com. I have a new EP out as of November. Woo. And you can find my books on Amazon. They are The Ninth Life, Dreamscape, and Toyland. You can find those if you search my name, Chad Waller, because that makes them show up faster.
That's very exciting. And how long do your current readers have to finish their draft? Is that coming up soon?
Jean-Luc and Gerda, who's in Germany, have like 3 days.
Wow.
And I want to start editing again.
Good luck, Jean-Luc and Gerda. You have 3 days. Emily, where can people find you?
People can find me eating their family's green bean casserole.
Okay,
the holiday festivities.
That got much better. Got less ominous there. It went from a bit of cannibalism to just a bit of eating. So that's cool. You just said eating the families. Anyway,
the
you got Twitter.
Green bean casserole. It is.
You
a paused.
You were like, they can find me eating their families. Green bean casserole.
I stuttered, Alex.
Roll the tapes.
You have the tapes, so
damn.
That'll be on you.
All right. But you can find her on Twitter at mpandanata.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at mpandanata. I do podcasts. You can find me on the internet.
You can find her on the podcasts. You can. Thanks, guys, for stopping by. You can find me at Alex Hanziuk at all places. And yeah, we'll see you next week. And remember to always be Sonic Underground.
Sonic Yay. Underground.
Sonic triplets born. The throne awaits. A seer warns of a deadly fate. Give up your children. Separate. Bide your time. Lie in wait. Sonic Underground. Sonic Underground. They made a vow. Their mother will be found. The children grow. Learn what's right. Leaders of the freedom fight. They seek their mother. She knows they do. Is it time? If she only knew. Will the prophecy come true? Sonic Underground. Sonic Underground.
I long for my children, but I have to wait. To act too soon could seal their fate.
They made a vow.